Welcome to our Farming Water Scotland podcast series. Over this series, we're looking at various mitigation options, guidance and farmers' experience to help manage and improve water quality on the farm and surrounding area. You can listen back to all previous episodes in the series and other podcasts we produce for Farming Water Scotland on any podcast provider. Today we're focusing on sheep scab, in particular discussing what farmers need to be aware of and the rules and regulations that need to be followed when managing sheep dip. I'm Fiona Salter, an environmental consultant for SAC Consulting and host for today's podcast. Today we're joined by Will Dryburgh, who works for SEPA as a specialist in their National Rural Unit, and Kathy McKenzie, who is a veterinary investigation officer for SRUC. Kathy, could you define what sheep scab is and what farmers should be aware of?
Yeah, so sheep scab is an infectious disease caused by a parasitic mite, and they infect sheep, and they the females lay eggs on the sheep's fleece, and the problem is that it's some of the antigens that they release causes an allergic type reaction. So it causes a really extreme itching problem to the point where sheep will actually stop eating because they're too busy trying to itch. So you'll see them rubbing, you'll see the feet, you'll see the teeth nibbling. Earlier signs, just a bit scabby, but when a serious outbreak has really significant welfare issues, obviously, but also quite significant health and productivity issues in the long term as well.
And does it transfer quite easily from sheep?
Yeah, really easily. Yeah, it can be spread sort of sheep. The main way it will come into your flock is actually through bought-in sheep or contact with sheep or sheep returning. So biosecurity is really important. It can also, the mite can live up to 17 or 18 days off the sheep, so in wool tags or on wooden fences where they've rubbed. So up to 17 days, they can still go back onto a sheep and re-cause a problem. Just the little mites that, just love to spread. And once, and the problem as well is there can be quite a time lag. So from the initial infection to when you see those overt clinical signs of itching or nibbling or wool loss can be quite a long time. But they are probably at least 10 days, up to 4 to 6 weeks. And then it also, the severity of disease, so how quickly, will vary with lots of other individual factors as well. Once they're kind of established, the population of mites on the sheep can double about every 6 days in sort of ideal circumstances.
We're going to discuss the treatment of sheep scab in a minute, but what are the implications if you do not treat?
Yeah, so massive welfare issues for one. I mean, they will literally stop eating and rub themselves till they are raw to the bone. It's a really intense allergic reaction that causes the response. Obviously, then they can transmit that to other sheep. So if there's sheep in contact, common grazing is a challenge in terms of containing the disease. I mean, certainly if they are, you know, you're trying to get them in lamb when they get scab, it's going to impact on their fertility. It's going to impact on lamb growth. So if they've got lambs at foot, they probably won't eat as much, won't produce as much milk. So there's all those big issues around it, as well as the welfare side of it. So it depends how bad it gets, I suppose. It's no two farms will be the same when they get it. And there is some variation between breeds of sheep, there's some variation between length of fleece. You know, there's a lot of factors there. But long term, if it comes in, yeah, it has a pretty significant impact on, I say, health, welfare and productivity. It's a big welfare problem, which is why it's notifiable in Scotland as well.
And currently, how much is it impacting Scotland at the moment?
Yeah, we still do see it coming and going, and we'll have areas where we get hotspots. There are also areas that are working quite hard to reduce it. Some of the island groups have done some great work lately. It's how many incidences do we see? I think it's difficult to be 100% because we're doing things differently. Numbers sort of vary. So in 2023, according to sort of the coding we do through the laboratories, in Scotland, there are 164 cases confirmed. Now, that will be flocks probably, but obviously there's a risk of spread to other flocks and subclinical sheep. So in that area, but it's certainly, yeah, it's a challenging disease because of the limitations of treatment.
And then moving seamlessly on to that, what can farmers use to treat?
So they really only have two options, and there's sort of problems with both of them. So there's injectable MLs, which are the group three wormers, the clear wormers. It has to be the injectable. And there's different options within that. And some of them will prevent as well as have a persistence. Some of them will just treat, and they will quite often need to be repeated at very specific timeframes. The challenge with using them is they also kill gastrointestinal worms. And because of the sheep scab disease, if you're treating a scab outbreak, you have to treat every single animal. So when we try to normally use wormers, we try and use a certain percentage of the population not treated to maintain a refugia. So we're maintaining not breeding resistance. And there's also been some resistance to the injectables in the mites that cause sheep scab. And then the other option is an organophosphate dip, which comes with its own unique set of challenges, but is a very effective treatment and prevention.
And obviously talking about the sheep dip is what we're going to probably go into a lot more detail now. And then, so I'm going to bring Will into here. Using sheep dip on farm obviously has its environmental issues. What considerations do farmers need to ensure that they understand and then comply with when treating sheep with sheep dip?
Yeah, one of the most important things is to bear in mind that you're only possibly dipping for 1 or 2 days a year, and you can manage that risk for over that time. They're very, very toxic. If they do get into a water course, they will devastate that water course. They'll kill fish, they'll kill all the invertebrates in the river as well. To give a rough idea, one average-sized sheep dipper has probably got enough toxicity to wipe out an entire river catchment. It's that level of toxicity. Though we're using the organophosphates now, whereas when we were using the synthetic pyrethroid dips, which were brought in the 1990s, they were actually far more toxic in the water environment, although they were far healthier for human beings to use. So there was this sort of misinterpretation at the time that if it's safer for us, they must be safer all round. And it certainly wasn't the case, because we had a few multi-thousand fish kills caused by synthetic pyrethroid dip escapes. Farmers need to make sure that if they're disposing of their own dip, they have to have a simple license from SEPA, which identifies a disposal area that they can use. And we always say that you can only have one disposal per site per year. So if you're dipping more than twice a year, for example, I always say to farmers to have three sites so that you've got a site spare, so that if you do get a scab outbreak and you need to dip, you've got an extra site that you can use.
I was going to say, would it be common for like sheep scab to reoccur more than once in a year?
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely issues. It depends what treatment. So as Will says, we're really careful with the OPs and we get good protection from it, but it's still only 60 days. So if you then meet another scabby sheep, and it's biosecurity, I mean, that's the way to keep it out is by biosecurity. And that means being really careful with any sheep you bring back. So whether it's been to a show, whether it's a new sheep, whether it's a top, whether it's something that's broken out. So, I mean, some of the times we've seen breakdowns has been on the big hill flocks, when they've done a big gather and they've just left two sheep that have been hiding somewhere because they're cunning little monkeys. And then those two reinfect them 60 days later. So absolutely possible. And in some of the hotspot areas, yeah, it's very persistent. The infection is very challenging. Sorry, Will, interrupted you, but...
No, it's fine. No, it's also, you've got to be careful about your sheep dipper itself. It has to be in a good state of repair. It has to be impermeable. And you have to make sure that everything drains back to the dip bath so that you have a good sized drip pen so the sheep can drip after they've been dipped and get most of the dip back into the dip bath. But also equally important, and this is actually a general binding rule, is that you're not allowed to allow sheep access to the water environment straight after they've been dipped or where there's any risk of any sheep dip fluid transferring to the water environment. So you're best if you have a paddock. You can put your dip sheep onto that's away from a water course or drain so that they can dry off before they go out into the bigger environment. You might need to supply some water for them because I'm sure they'll be pretty thirsty. I think I probably would after being dipped in a dip. And also if you're putting in a new dipper, it has to be more than 50 metres away from any water course or drain. But yeah, it's all a case of, we also prefer that sheep dippers get emptied within 24 hours of the completion of dipping. That doesn't mean to say that you have to spread the dip in that time, but you need to empty the sheep dipper so that you don't have an overflow situation where you have a rainfall situation and it overflows and causes the dip to escape that way. So we always say to farmers that if you are dipping, empty your dipper, but if you can't get onto the field to spread, store it in an IBC or some containers on the drip pens, so that if anything bursts, it goes back into the dip bath again.
Can you dip on really wet days? Like, is it covered? Or should you try and avoid? I'm just thinking, if you're in the middle of doing it and there's like torrential rain, one, it might dilute the, I don't know if this is a, it could dilute the dip, or is that a consideration, or is it covered?
It could. It's best if you can keep it to the weather's in a reasonable state, because you don't want to be spreading dip onto waterlogged land as well. But yeah, you can't go by the weather. Usually the dips, particularly when they're dipping, the actual volume in the dip bath goes down because so much is being absorbed onto the fleece. So the dip bath will go down, so there will be some capacity for storing it. It's all about managing it over that period when it's being dipped.
Yeah, the advice would be to check the weather forecast and try not to dip when it's going to tip rain, because wet sheep is less than ideal. And also, obviously, as Will was saying, you know, you've got a paddock to keep them in so they don't contaminate the watercourses. But if they're really wet, then there's more comes off their fleeces as well. So it's definitely, hope the Met Office is as accurate as it can be on the day you want to dip.
You did say like it's toxic to humans. What can the people who are, or what should the people who are using the dip, like, do they need to be qualified? Do you need to get specialists in?
Yeah, I mean, from a veterinary point of view, certainly full PPE, you know, non-pervasive. It's a really nasty thing. And yeah, you have to have a license to buy. You have to do a course and get a license to be able to buy the product, so to buy the OP dip. So it is very strictly controlled. And there's some quite good stuff online about different and all the rules and where you can get the training and stuff.
What are the implications that it can have on human health and the wider environmental impact of this chemical?
Yeah, well, for human health particularly, I mean, it was originally designed by the Germans during the war as a nerve agent. And then they found, it's quite good at killing insects, so organophosphates. So they've got a fairly checkered history. In the right ways, they're perfectly safe, but some people are very susceptible to getting affected by dip. It can really have serious implications for them. And also, one of the reasons that Britain had to bring in the groundwater regulations was that there was a private water supply got polluted by sheep dip in somewhere in Scotland, in Perthshire, I think. Yeah. And it went to the European Court, and that meant that Britain had to very hurriedly introduce the groundwater regulations. And so we had to very license all disposal sites in Scotland. That was in the late 80s.
From sheep dip?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Some people can swim about in it. It doesn't affect them, but other people just need to smell it in the rill. It's strange stuff. But the implications for the water environment are far more severe. Obviously, it's designed to kill insects, and all our rivers and streams and lakes are all full of insects. They all carry out part of the ecosystem services of maintaining how a river works. So they're either eating up algae, eating up grazers, or they're eating other insects, or they're food for fish. So if they get wiped out, then it can have implications for the whole ecosystem of the river. Sheep dip will kill fish, there's no doubt about it. I've seen it often enough. It does kill fish.
And also if there is a potential for polluting someone's private water supply further downstream. And again, where you could have human health implications for it as well. But then it can be very far-reaching in terms of the impact it can have in the water environment. As I say, it will wipe out all the insects in the river, which we use as part of our classification for water quality. One of the main ways that we classify water quality these days is by measuring invertebrates in streams and by the assemblages and the populations of these invertebrates in the streams, we can generate a score and it'll tell us how clean that river environment is. So if they're wiped out, that downgrades the water quality immediately, as well as obviously having all the rest of the impacts that we've said before. As I said, when I started with the Tweed Board in 1990, we inspected every sheep dipper in the Tweed catchment because our ecologist at the time was finding that in October, November time, at the headwaters of all the rivers in the Tweed system, all the invertebrates counts were way down. And these should be pristine watercourses. There should be absolutely nothing wrong with them. So we took chemistry samples and we found that we were getting 1-200 nanograms of organophosphates, which was coming from sheep dip. So we inspected every sheep dipper in the catchment, found that about roughly 10% were actually having an impact. And so we got them to either stop using the dipper or fix the dipper or put in better splash protection, stop using soakaways for disposing the dip, and within 2 years we had it down to a manageable, the organophosphate levels were down to sort of single figures. So that was a very successful project that we did. But it just goes to show the implications that it can have, because the headwaters of the Tweeds are where all the Tweed salmon come from. So if they become impoverished, then the whole river system becomes impoverished.
It's not a small thing. It can have massive implications.
Yeah. So anyone that wants to use sheep dip and dispose of it has to have a disposal license from us, which means that they need to have good, flat, well-vegetated, well-soiled sites. We usually look for at least 30 centimetres of soil, 60 centimetres if possible, and good soil. Sandy soils aren't really good because it just goes straight through the groundwater. But if it's a good loamy soil, that's probably the best thing. And spreading it onto the surface, because then you get UV light from the sunlight that actually breaks the chemical down as well. Whereas if you put it into a soakaway, it just sits there. It doesn't decompose.
And what legislation and guidance is available for people who need to treat sheep?
It's the Water Environment Controlled Activities Scotland Regulations 2011 as amended, or the CAR regs as we call them. Now, the CAR practical guide is on our website, which gives you all the information you need to know for anything that you're doing in relation to activities in the water environment. And General Binding Rule 24 relates to the operating and disposal of sheep dips. And also you would need a license, what we'll call a CAR simple license, for disposal of dip. And as I say, we're looking at one disposal per annum per year on each site. So if they're dipping 2 times a year, I always say to people to have at least 3 sites. So you've got your 2 that you're disposing of, and you've got a spare just in case you need it for a scab outbreak, so that you can actually dispose of the dip safely and legally.
Once you've disposed of it, do you need to let people know?
No.
If you have your license, no.
No.
So if you don't use that site, you don't need to tell them.
You need to record the dates you disposed of it and the volume that you disposed, and the name of the product. Mm-hmm. That's also a cross compliance requirement. So you need to maintain your records and keep your records for that, because it will be, if you ever are chosen for an ARPID inspection, that'll be one of the things they'll be looking at, disposal records.
And on the animal welfare side, what would a farmer need to know or do for the sheep scab for the sheep?
So if they've got any suspicion of scab, they should be seeking veterinary advice. And it is really important as well, equally from the use of OP point of view, that we actually know what we're treating, because there are other options out there for other external parasites. So it's important. And there's a couple of ways to get a diagnosis. So once they sort of, you've got the itching, we can do a skin scrape. But what is really super useful these days is we can do a blood test to look for antibodies. And there's some specific guidance your vet can give you on how many to test. So particularly if you're bringing new sheep in or sheep that have been away or anything like that, and that can pick up the antibodies from the that they the sheep's done because it's been infected by the scab at about 2 to 3 weeks. So there are no clinical signs, but we know those sheep need treated. And that's had a really big impact on how we can hopefully manage it better and reduce the amount of treatment. So not only reducing the amount of injectable wormers, which we want to do for a lot of reasons, but also, you know, reduce the number of times animals have to be dipped or need to be dipped. Because, you know, from a human health, animal health, and water health, you know, the less we can use. It really is a case of, you know, using, you know, as much as you need, little as possible sort of thing. And that's where we're really trying to work with it. If they are suspicious, so the blood sample alone isn't a positive diagnosis. But if we get a skin scrape, and actually the Scottish government does fund some of that testing for free for Scottish practices and Scottish farms, we do a scrape and then it gets reported to the APHA. And it's not a big issue. We don't need to be worried. And I think one of the problems with controlling scab has been a slight thought from farmers that it's a stigma, that it means that they're not doing their job well. And it does not mean that at all. And actually, the more people can work together, particularly in areas with common grazings and all those other things, if you can work together, much, much better for everybody.
You can control it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, we know that animals that share grazings are 10 times more likely to get scab than animals that don't. And there's been a lot of work done with trying to coordinate. So particularly, say, on the islands where having dippers is quite problematical, the mobile dipping companies, I hope Will would agree, are very good. They're very well set up. They do the job extremely well. And try to coordinate them going to do a whole place at the same time. And that has a massively beneficial impact on reducing the disease and probably reducing the amount of contamination, because we're doing it through professional people.
Casey, does any, are any of the porons or injectable products, do they prevent scab, or do they purely treat scab that's there?
No, there are some products that will do prevent. So your dip does prevent for 60 days, and then some of the injectables do. None of the porons, some of the injectables. But again, they're the injectables that we really don't want to use at certain times of year in terms of that resistance for the gastrointestinal nematodes that they also treat. And that's where the real balancing act comes in. So we really do try and push really good biosecurity, good quarantine treatments and testing to know whether you've got it, and testing at the right times to get in there quicker. It's a really delicate balancing act because, you know, we are all aware of the risk to the environment and the watercourses, but at the same time, from a welfare point of view, but also from maintaining, being able to sheep farm from a parasitic resistance point of view, as vets and farmers, dipping is really important to us. So I think we need to continue to do it well and do it right so that we can continue to do it.
I think we accept that for sheep scab, dipping is far and away the best treatment, but it's just a case of doing it at the right time, the right way.
And yeah, from our point of view, getting that diagnosis, so making sure you are actually treating scab, and then making sure, you know, speak to the vet, get, you know, look at your biosecurity. If you're doing common grazing, chat, see if we can get a group of people to work together, because it does really benefit in the long run.
Thank you both for joining us today. It's been a really interesting discussion, and thank you for joining us as well. We will save all the links and documents and guidance notes that have been discussed throughout this podcast episode on the webpage. If you enjoyed listening, please like, subscribe and follow our podcast wherever you listen to them. Please get in touch if you want to follow and doubt more information. Farming Water Scotland is funded by Scottish Government and delivered by SEC Consulting in partnership with SEPA to help farmers and land managers reduce diffuse pollution risks and benefit the farm business.